1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is writing Timothy, and he is mentoring Timothy. And he wants to help Timothy to be a good minister. But it's not just minister to minister. It's a father to a son, a spiritual father to a spiritual son. And as important it is to fulfill, to be involved in ministry, which these both these men were, understand that we're all involved in ministry. How many know we all have work to do? How many know we're all called? I said, how many know we're all called? Listen to me. You are just as called as I am called. You are just as called as I am called. We might have a different calling, but you're not any less called than I am. And you will not be any less accountable to God than I am accountable to God. How many know we know our pastors are going to sit before God? How many know we know that? Amen, and that's fine, and you should, and I will. Did you catch all that? But here's what I'm saying. Equally will you have your turn. And God is going to ask me, did you fulfill what I called you to do? And God is going to ask you, did you fulfill what I called you to do? And you will need to be accountable to him and take responsibility for your own life, just like I need to take responsibility for our own life. Listen, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're a nurse and you're called to be a nurse at Kaiser, and you're called to minister to people around you, not just medicine, but be cheery and be happy and expose that the reason why you're happy is because of Jesus. If that's your calling, and it is, whatever job you work on, that is your calling. Your calling is to introduce people to Jesus. You know what? Peter, this is Jesus. Jesus, this is Peter. Oh, well, Jesus, you already know Peter. But that's your calling. The Bible says that's what ministry you have. You have the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile men to God. That's what the Bible says. And so we're all called to this. It's in this context that Paul writes to Peter, and he says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. He says this, I commit to you. This is this is him speaking with exclamation points. This charge I commit to you. I'm saying this is really, really, really important. Son Timothy, see, he's speaking to his spiritual son. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you. God expects that we would be around prophetic people. If you're hanging around your buddies that drink a lot, stop it. Amen? Yeah, but I thought the Bible said that Jesus hung around with the drunkards. No, that's not what happened, guys. Read your Bible. Jesus didn't hang out with the drunkards. The drunkards hang around Jesus, and they stop drinking. Yeah, but I thought the Bible said that Jesus hung around with the harlots. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the harlots came to Jesus and they stopped being harlots. See, we need to read our Bible, amen? We need to know our Bible. We need to not act, you know what, when somebody comes in to church, you know what, and they don't speak the religious language that we speak and we know, and maybe, you know what, maybe they're more carnal than we are. We need to remember when we came to church and how carnal we were. Oh, you're missing a good time to say amen. Amen. We need to love people that are here like Jesus did. But don't think, you know what, if you, no, Pastor, you don't understand. You know what, I'm hanging around all my ungodly friends because, you know, I'm going to get them saved. Well, the Bible doesn't say you're going to get them saved. See, how many know that this church, we're going to teach the word to you. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that they're going to get you unsaved. Where does it say that? The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. See, get on fire for Christ. Here. Act like a Christian. If you start walking around acting like Jesus, trust me, the people who want to get off drugs, they're going to come to you. The people who are tired of sleeping around, they're going to come to you. All we need to do is act like Jesus. And we won't be able to keep them out of here. Amen. Dr. Salico taught me this. He said, if the church would act like Christ, we would speak to our communities and our churches would be packed. Now you said, Pastor, but you know what? What are you saying? I'm not acting like Jesus? I don't know. Look in the mirror. Tell me. I ain't here to judge you. I'm here to love you. Amen. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how you acted yesterday. You know what? Tomorrow you're going to act like Jesus. Amen. But what I'm saying is you ought to hang around people who are prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic. Amen. And so Timothy hung out with people who were yada yada. You're in trouble now. Who were prophetic. And because of that, they recognized, you know what? Prophetic people will recognize what's going on. The Bible says, there's a scripture. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be prophetic. You need to walk in the prophetic. You need to come into the service prayed up, stirred up, psyched up, pumped up, and something else up, I don't know. And then what's going to happen is you're going to sit next to somebody and you're going to say, man, what's going on with you, brother? I just sense that, you know what, that thing that you are fearful of is going to be completely, hey, don't worry about that no more. That's right. Amen. Amen. And he's going to go, what? This morning, I had a prophetic word, and I sensed that there were people who were going through some stuff. And the whole word, I asked people to raise. At first I thought it was just one, but then I sensed that it was more than one. And I asked people to raise their hand. All kind of people raise their hand. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, they'll come into church, and you'll speak prophetically over them, and they'll know that God is here, and they'll get on their face. Amen. Well, Timothy had been around those kind of people. You know what I mean? Those people who are not afraid to go out there and say something over you. Amen. And he had been around those people. And so what happened was that Paul knows he's been around that people, and Paul knows the benefit of the prophetic over your life. And so here's what he says. He says, I charge, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made. According to the prophecies previously made. Let's say that together. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you. that by them. Now, somebody who studies the Word of God, tell me what them is. The prophecies. What's them? What's the them? Come on, let's look at it. Help me out, somebody. I want to teach you to study the Word of God, figure it out. It's simple. But you gotta be engaged. I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage a good war for. What is them? Though them is the prophecies that were previously made. According to, I could say it like this. I charge and commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that were previously made, that by the prophecies that were previously made, you may wage a good warfare. There have been things that have been spoken to us about what's going to take place at Hope Community Church. And by those prophetic words that have been spoken to us, at times the Tamar and I felt discouraged and bewildered and thought, what in the world? Why hasn't it happened yet? God says, we just get back up on the horse and say, well, you know what? It's God said this to us. We're going to stick to it, and we're not going to quit till we see it come to fruition. See, those prophecies and help you to be tough. Those prophecies help you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And you don't see it yet. The problem is with many people who come in the body of Christ, you know what? They're so used to, if I don't see it in the next 30 days, then that must mean that, and they get off, and they never spend the time that it takes to be consistent. And so they allow circumstances to get them off. And Paul says to Timothy, don't let that happen to you. There's things that have been spoken over you that you have to be consistent to. And it's by those remembering those things that these people have supernaturally spoken into your life. Now, please understand, any prophetic word has to be biblical word. You know, Joseph Smith, the false prophet, was given a word. Listen to me, somebody. Was given a word. Joseph Smith is the founder of Mormonism. And Joseph Smith, at whatever, he was 14, was given a word that the Bible wasn't enough. That there would be given to him a further revelation of what God had. See, if Joseph Smith would have known the word, he would have known that, and what happened? It was an angel Moroni. Who was the angel Moroni? A demon from the pit of hell. That's who the angel Moroni is. Hello, somebody. See, the Bible says that Satan will come, disguise himself like an angel of light. What am I saying? I'm saying that angel came as that demon came as an angel of light. And got this young man off, and he was a good speaker, really a con man. But I'm not saying that he wasn't conned. I'm not saying that he wasn't sincere. But he was able to convince all kinds of other people, watch this, who didn't read their Bible every day either. I said who didn't read their Bible every day either. The prophetic is so important that we understand this, that has got to be the principal thing, is that the prophetic has got to be in line with the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, somebody can come up to you and you know what, and fake you out. Ooh, you know, I'm going to give you a better relation, you know, revelation than what was given Paul. Ooh. Ooh. You know what, one of the best ways of showing a Mormon how wrong they are is simply to go back to some of the original texts. You know, they have rewritten the, just ask them, hey, how many times have they rewritten the Book of Mormon? Over and over and over and over. And these original texts, the Mormon church wants, and if you have one, they'll buy it off you for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Here's why. Because they're so filled with error. Let me just give you one. if you were black and you were originally, you know, when Joseph Smith was around, you couldn't even be in the family of God. When did that get changed? Oh, when God revealed to one of the later prophets, years later, that God was allowing black people to come in. Now, let me spit on my lips a little bit more. Come on, man. Come on. Are you kidding me? What is up with that? I tell you what's up with that. That's what's up with that. Amen? But see, if you don't know that, you're going to be tricked. And so, listen, anybody who prophesies over me, I'm listening to every word they say, and I'm filtering it through the best computer ever, 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 ever built. You know what? The mind. Amen. And I'm filtering it towards all the word that I know. Because the word of God is our final authority. But what I'm saying is, this prophetic is so critical that you would buy the prophetic, you would wage a good warfare. Pastor, why do you take the time to say all that? Here's why. Because 7 years ago, the mayor came in to our church, spoke to our church, and when he's speaking to our church, after he's done, God gives Tamara a prophetic word about the mayor. And she has the boldness to speak it over him. He didn't even know what to call it. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what you call it, amen? A rose by any other name is still a rose. But he treasured it. And we treasured it. We recorded it. We expect that God is going to speak to us. And we value it when he does speak to us. So we recorded it, and I have it for you. Yeah, but I thought that word was to the mayor. It was to the mayor, but it was also to us. And so Wednesday, in my office, I began to look at it, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, this was for the mayor, but this was also for your church now, and so they need to hear it. I said, Pastor, that sounds, how many came Wednesday? Raise your hand if you came Wednesday. I said, Pastor, that sounds a lot like Wednesday's sermon. Oh, praise the Lord. It does, doesn't it? Okay. And here's what I want you to understand, that you're going to hear Wednesday's sermon again. Pastor, but I already heard it. Amen. How many like filet mignon? Amen. How many of you ever ate filet mignon more than once? Did you like it the second time? Yeah. I'm like, ooh, this is filet mignon. Oh, take this back. I already had it already. No, man, you get all happy. You get all happy. So get happy today. Because I believe that God is going to speak and say something to you If you came on Wednesday, that you're going to hear something that you haven't heard before. And so as the Holy Spirit directs me, I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit says, whoa, you know what? I say the Holy Spirit, but I'll repeat it again. How many of you didn't come Wednesday? Raise your hand, those of you who haven't heard the word that came Wednesday. Raise your hand real high, let me see. See how many of the Holy Spirit wants you all to hear this? This is critical. And for those of you who already heard it, some of you aren't voting. But anyway, and those of you who already heard it, the Holy Spirit says you're going to hear something that you need to hear today fresh, even though you just heard this. So I want to look at what God spoke to us. God spoke to the mayor, but I want to look specifically at what God spoke to us, because there's a there's some things in this word that are very applicable to you. When the Lord speaks, we need to put a priority of what he says. Let me say that again. When the Lord speaks, we need to put a priority in what he says. And the prophetic word is God speaking. He is saying something to you. He is equipping you that you will have this. I say you will need it because the Lord is saying something to say. Listen to what he's saying. You're going to need this. God isn't just speaking because he doesn't have anything better to do. He's speaking to you. He's telling you something that you need to hear, that you have to get. Pico Rivera will be known far and wide. Not because Pico Rivera is such a great place. It is a great place. We love our city. But Pico Rivera is a place where the Spirit of the Lord will be honored and revered. Watch this. And because of that, because of this honoring and revering of God's word, we will see the power and the movement of God in our city that has never been seen in any other place. Yeah, but we're just little old Pico Rivera. Not to God, we're not. God says to us that because we're going to revere God in an incredible way, we're going to be, he's going to move in this place like no other place. Because we are fighting for what the Lord has, a destiny he has for this city, plans that he has to bring to fruition, and it will take his army, his body in place with the courage of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord with you, and you must know that he is with you and that he is with you always. So fear not, be filled with courage, push out fear, and know if God is for you, who can be against you? And we will see like we have never seen the presence of the Lord, as this is a place where he is designated that he will visit in a strong and mighty way. What we need to do as a people in this city is to keep our hearts right, listen very carefully, and cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? We will cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. It is time to till the seeds, to get closer to him than you ever have gotten close to him, because you will need him as you go forth in the battle that which he has called you. How many receive that? So I've summed this up in three ways. Number one. That's the sermon title. Go to the next one. No, I guess it's the first one. Sorry. Hear the plan. Everybody say, hear the plan. Everybody say, hear the plan. We have to hear the plan of God. Remember at the beginning he says this. He says, the prophetic word the Lord is speaking. He is saying something to you. He's equipping you that you have this. He's not just talking to talk. He's speaking a prophetic. He's speaking something over you that you're going to have. Fathers, you need to hear what he is speaking, because he's speaking something that you need for your children. Moms, you need to hear this, because he's speaking something to your grandchildren and your children. kids, you need to hear what God is saying. Because he's speaking to you that you would stay pure and protect yourself from all the junk out there. He's speaking to business people, and he's giving them a plan to run their business. He's speaking to you, and he's speaking to you. Why? Because there's this plan that you need to execute. Everybody say execute. That you would fulfill what he's called you to do. There's no team in football that they don't get a plan. There's no team in football that they go up to the quarterback, what should we do? Oh, no, man, just do what you want to do. I'm just going to get the ball. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants today. I don't even know what the plan is. But we're all good athletes. We're going to score a touchdown on this one. Yeah, but quarterback, what's the plan? I don't know the plan. Just go out there, jump around, do some jumping jacks, and I'll hit you. How many know that doesn't happen? Or let me say this. How many of the team that does that is the team that's going to lose? No, they're very strategic. They got somebody way up high. Everybody say way up high. Who can see everything. And he sees the defense. And he sees what they're doing. Is he able to say, no, we need to do this. I see the hole. I see the weakness. I see the exposure. And we're going to run to that place. And he radios down to the coach. And the coach tells the quarterback. And then the quarterback huddles up. And each player has assignment. You know, whatever they say, we're going to go blue, code two. You know what? To the right side, on the power left. Ready? Whatever. I don't know how the quarterbacks talk. Pastor, we could tell. Okay, what I'm saying. But they got a plan, and they got a language, and everybody understands the language, and they don't go up to the line till they get the plan. Nobody says, we don't got time to do that. You know, we got to score a touchdown. Everybody knows you're not going to score a touchdown if you don't got time for that. We've been deceived. We've been thinking, man, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. I won't got time to pray in the morning. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And you've been duped here? And you've been ripped off there? And you've been, you know what, fooled there? I mean, how long does it take before you're going to realize you don't have time not to get the plan? Pastor Cho, who has a little church in South Korea, it's the biggest church in the world. I don't know what it is. It's crazy. You know what? 500,000 members. It's just crazy. Crazy large. You know what he does? Here's what he does. Here's what he does. In the morning, he gets together with God and prays for 3 hours. But when he prays with a pen and a notepad in his hand. And when the Holy Spirit tells him to do something, he writes it down. Well, Pastor, what's he do after the 3 hours? He does whatever is on his notepad to do. Hey, I'm just asking, you think he's busy? See, and what we say automatically, think how crazy we are. We say automatically, but Pastor, I don't have time to pray. Now, how many know nobody says that? Come on, somebody, are y'all here? How many know nobody says that? Why? Because we know we can't say that. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. How many know you talk with your life? So what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying. I'm just trying to point out crazy. I said, I'm just trying to point out crazy. Amen. I'm not trying to point out crazy that you would, that I would be, you know, ooh, you're bad people. I love you guys. I love you guys. But I want to point out crazy that we could stop being crazy. Amen. Because your life has to be on purpose. You got to understand. You know what? If you knew the smartest person in the world, would you not go up to that person and ask them how you should invest your money? Would you not ask that person how you could have an awesome marriage? Would you not ask that person advice? If you had access to the smartest person in the world, and you guys are smart, would you not say, before I make this move, I'm going to ask the smartest person in the world. How many would ask that person before you made a major move or even a minor move in your life? Raise your hand if you'd ask that person. You say, but Pastor, I don't have access to that person. You do have access. He's not a person. That's your God. Amen. It's better than a person. He's in your family. Amen. It's better than a person. He's your daddy. Amen. Just ask your daddy. Hey, Dad. I don't know. I need some help. Show me the scripture. Can you show me the scripture? No. On point one. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Everybody say a long while. Okay, a long while. He went out and departed to a solitary place. Everybody say solitary place. And there he prayed. Here's what I want you to hear. Solitary place. You know what? How many know Jesus is a smart guy? Jesus recognized, let's say it was 4 in the morning. Because 4 in the morning we can at least agree. I don't know if it was 4 in the morning, but how many know 4 in the morning is a long time before daylight? So let's say it was 4 in the morning. How many know 4 in the morning, Jesus is still getting away and finding the solitary place? You say, well, 4 in the morning, everybody asleep. I know. But for all I know, John is going to wake up. Peter's going to wake up. They're going to start saying, hey, you know, I was wondering, you know what I mean? Yesterday when you fed the 5,000, you know what I mean? How come, you know what? What was going on here? And why'd you have us, you know, hey, he don't, no. I don't have time for you right now. How many know God loves when we tell people, I don't have time for you right now? He said, no, that's me. No, that's awesome. I don't have time for you right now. Because I have a relationship with God. I got to be with God. We need to speak to our iPhones and say, I don't got time for you right now. We got to speak to our emails and say, I don't got time for you right now. We got to tell social media, stop. In the name of love, before you break his heart. That was funnier than you're laughing at. Amen. You're breaking God's heart. Amen. We think that we can't break God's heart. Oh, no, God, wait. This is important. Can I tell you what? Getting his plan is important. God has got super. We need this. We got to hear what God is saying to us. We have to say, no, I'm going to get alone with God. I'm not, yeah, but my kids need me. Your kids do need you. So shut the door. Lock the door. Tell them, I don't hear you. Am I speaking to somebody? Find a solitary place. There's something that God loves about Intentionality. I said there's something that God loves about intentionality. Not too long ago, it was my wife's anniversary, and it was our anniversary. Yeah, that was weird. It was our anniversary. Hey, back off, man. Back off. Okay, it was our anniversary, and that was funny. And so I was intentional. Everybody say intentional. So I told Mickey, hey, Mickey, tell Tamara you want to take her to a spa place, you know, to do a massage and give you a facial and do all that stuff that, you know what, that the women like. And some of you men like that too, but. My wife took me to this place where they gave, you know, did us massage. Oh my goodness. It was so awesome. Amen. But I didn't get no facial, so back off. So anyway, I'm just saying, amen. You say, Pastor, you should have got a facial, man. You need a facial, Pastor. It might be true, amen. You come over to my house, I might have a mask on next time, you know? Open the door with the green mask. Hey. Anyway, but I digress, amen. So she goes to this place, and after, you know what, I got this limousine out there waiting to pick her up. And I like Mickey. Mickey said, wow, there's a limousine. I wonder who's taking a ride in a limousine. How many know? My wife was taking a ride in a limousine. And I took her in a limousine ride. We went We went to Tony Romo's. And we went to Tony Romo's. Tony Romo's is where I asked her to marry me. Amen. And we got done, and then we went home. And when we went home, I had 30 vanilla candles all lit outside in our patio area. Amen. Now, men, let me give you a hint, okay? Don't get 30 vanilla candles and light them all, okay? Because it will be candelicious, you know? I mean, it will be vanilla-licious, amen? And we walked out, and we're like, whoa! We were like, vanilla! But it looked beautiful. And it actually smelled beautiful, but just don't get 30. 30 was too much. And I took her outside, and I sang her a song. Amen, amen. Everybody say intentional. And I sang her a song that I wrote her, amen. Amen. Sing it. Yeah, see, you are. Who said sing it? I know. You know what? You're so good. You know what? Honey, I love you. That's another story, and that's another song. And that really happened, just so you know. But my point is, and I sang her song, and let me tell you what the song was about. I won't sing it. My throat isn't that perfect right now. Praise God. But that's all right. But I sang her a song that talked about how when I first met her, how she took my breath away. And then when I saw her later on, when I saw her years later, and I asked her to marry me, and I saw her on our wedding day, and I saw her on the aisle ready to come down, it took my breath away. And then I said, it's been nearly 20 years later. And she still walks in the room. And she takes my breath away. Amen. 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 Somebody, I don't know who it was. Oh, Donna. I was trying to get it together in my office. You know what? Because, I don't know if you notice, I'm coughing a little bit. But praise God. God is our healer. Amen. So, you know what, I don't sweat that, amen? You don't sweat it either, okay? But I was in my office just trying to catch a breath, and I came, and Tamara was outside talking to Donna. And I came up to Tamara, and Donna said, wow, isn't your wife beautiful? I said, yeah, I've been noticing that ever since I started walking out of the office over there. My wife does take my breath away.
but I was intentional. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Here's why. Because there's an intentionality of what you're doing that speaks to the person that you love. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know what, when you, later on this afternoon, when you go to In-N-Out. Oh, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for this food. God, we love In-N-Out. Thank you for In-N-Out. Hallelujah. Double doubles are anointed of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about, and praise God, I want you to pray over your food. I want you to be grateful for your food. I mean, no, we need to be grateful for what we have. I want you to be grateful for your food, and I want you to anoint your food. You have no idea what could be in that food. You need to sanctify that food. Don't just start shoving it down your throat. You pray over your food before you eat it. But what I'm saying is, and God loves it when we pray for our food, but what I'm saying is there's got to be a more intentionality to our relationship with God that we're saying, God, you are first place in our life. I am not going to just run my life doing this and doing that and doing that and not getting your plan. I can't do that. I won't do that. I'm smart enough. First of all, I just love you and I like to hang out with you. See, people love when you're intentional about them. Joel has this great, Joel does a lot of things right. But one of the things he does right, and I see it, he buys good gifts. So he'll give my wife a gift for her birthday or for Christmas. And it won't be just like some, you know, it'll be a gift that she looks at and goes, oh, Joel. Right? Tamara's is not right? And she'll be like, oh, that's perfect. Can we do that? Can I get... Oh, this is good. Can I tell you what God's perfect gift is? How many want to know what the best gift to give to God is? How many know I'm setting you up? You know what it is? It's you. David said this. He said, what is man that he's God's mindful? In other words, David's like, I don't get it. I don't understand why God's so in love with us. I agree. I don't get it either. Amen. But I don't have to get it. I'm just telling you, I know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He only had one son to give, and he gave him to us. He is crazy in love with you. Amen. You know what? When you have chips, anybody like chips? Good chips with some salsa, amen. You know what? You want the best guacamole you ever had. Okay, just go to my wife and ask her to make you some guacamole, because she makes guacamole. It's like you died and went to heaven, amen. And I'll take the chip and I'll eat the guacamole and be like, oh my goodness. Well, thank God for my wife, but thank God for God. God is the one who designed that. All the things that God has made. You know, I walked outside today and it was just beautiful, fresh and clean, and just what a gorgeous day. You know what? God did that for us today. Everything, the trees, the birds. The other day I went outside, yesterday I went outside, and there's this hummingbird. Oh man, they're so cool. They're like the wings are just going like 80 billion miles an hour. You know what I mean? It's just so incredible. God is so awesome. You know what? And then there was this squirrel. You know what? And the squirrel's just like kind of minding your own business. And then you know what? And then my dogs get out and start chasing the squirrel. And the squirrel's like, guys, I don't even sweat you. I love these squirrels because they like just make fun of my dogs. Amen. So funny. I got this fence. You know what I mean? I got this fence, and it kind of has like this like little curve on it. And so the squirrel's on the fence,
And the dogs are all excited because they think, oh, we finally, you know what? These squirrels just mess with my dogs all the time. It's so entertaining. But the squirrel was on the fence. And I have two dogs particularly, Casey and Lily. And they are my main squirrel, you know what, chasers. And one of them was over here, and one of them was over here. And the squirrel's on the fence only about this wide. and I think, oh my goodness, they got him. And I've never seen him. I'm like, oh my goodness, they got him. And sure enough, that squirrel just went back and forth. And that squirrel's kind of squeaking. I recognize now he's just laughing at him. He's laughing. That's how squirrels laugh. And then because as soon as the squirrel wanted, the squirrel just went right down the middle and then ran to a tree and just scurried up there. And it's like they didn't even have a chance. Okay, somebody tell me why I'm talking about squirrels right now. Come on, somebody help me out. Tamara, help me out. God is good. You know, God is good. Thank you. That's my helpmate right there. God is good. He just, you know what? It's so cool to see these squirrels. Can I tell you what? God is so awesome. And let me tell you about God. He'll give you his plan. He'll give you the plan for your marriage. He'll give you a plan for your kids. He'll give you a plan for your business. He'll give you a plan to get you out of depression. Yeah, but the medical field says I just got to take all these drugs. Listen, get his plan to how you get out of depression. He'll give you the plan. But you got to get the plan. You got to be like Jesus. You got to set your sight. You got to set some time out and get away to a place and turn off the cell phone. Turn off the iPhone. Turn off the stuff. Turn off the kids. Turn off your grandkids. Lock the door. And spend time with God. Number two, I'll be quick. Everybody say number two. Okay, you have to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. You have to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. You have to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. I said, you have to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, but my husband doesn't need forgiveness again. Yeah, but my wife doesn't need forgiveness again. Yeah, but yabba duba. Be quiet. You cooperate with the plan of God.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit told us, you know what? You need to start homeschooling our kids. I'm like, let me try that again. I'm like, this is crazy. What are you talking about, God? Can I tell you what? Listen, you have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. One of the problems with Christianity is that, you know what? We're not spending time getting the plan. And then when we get the plan of God, then we look at God and say, well, that is a crazy plan. No. Can I talk about crazy for a minute? Crazy is you being too busy with God. And then when he gives you his plan, he knows. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows. So just settle the part of you that wants to control your life, wants to control everything in your life. And let him be God. You have to cooperate with God's plan. You have to cooperate with God's plan. You have to cooperate with God's plan. You know what that means? That means you can't do your plan. Yeah, but Pastor, I want to do my plan. I know. I thought when God told me that we needed to homeschool our kids, I thought that is the craziest plan in the world. Listen, I'm not saying anything. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what he told me and Tamara to do. And I knew it. It just didn't make any sense to me. How can I do this? Are you kidding me? I barely graduated from high school. That was supposed to be funny. What are you talking about? Homeschool my kids. I don't have time to do that.
Get the plan from God and then cooperate with the plan.
I was talking to a gentleman, and he was believing for a job, gets this job. In the midst of getting this job, the original company that was going to hire him come back to him and tell him, you know what? Well, now we want to hire you. He says, Pastor, what should I do? I don't know what to do. Pastor, what'd you tell him? I said, I don't know what to do either. I don't know either. Here's what you do. Here's what you better not do. You better not eat from the tree of good and evil. What's the tree of good and evil? The tree, watch this, of good and evil. Positives and negatives. It's a tree that says you can figure it out. I say, you better need to eat, not eat of that tree. I said, now I'm mocking this, because you'll hear this advice. Just get two pieces of paper out, get the one job, list all the good things about that job and all the negative things about that job. And then get the other piece of paper out and list all the good things about that job and all the negative things about that job. And whatever things you have more positive things, do that, because that's obviously what you need to do. So maybe you list, oh, this job, they're going to pay me $2 more an hour. And you think, oh, I'm going to take that job. Most people go where the money is. Most people, one of the areas that will get you deceived more than any other thing is in finances. Because you know what? We just want to control that, because we're so afraid that we're going to go without. We're such a, you know what? I can't say it better than Madonna said it. We are so materialistic. That's why when you start talking about tithe, people get all in your face and tell you as a pastor, you better shut up. That's not, you know what I mean? All this stuff. You said, Pastor, why do you talk about tithe so much? Because it's so problematic in the body of Christ. Amen? 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 I said, you better not do that. I said, because the job that you're making, you know what, $2 an hour more, I use 50 cents, 50 cents an hour more, that most people will gravitate to that job. And I had chairs. I said, this is one job and that's the other job. And you gravitate to this. It's closer, you know what, less gas, you know what, 50 more cents an hour. But in this job, you're going to meet somebody and you say, no, no, no. But you know what? Our car, see, this is positive and negative, but our car has, you know, a lot of miles on it. You know what? We wear and tear on our car and yada, oh, this is the one. And that's where most people will gravitate, because most people lean unto their own understanding. And so they gravitate to that. Here's the problem. The problem is God knows the beginning from the end. And you're going to have a tyrannical boss at this job who is, and at this job, you're going to meet somebody, and he's going to give you a new car. I said, give you a new car. Pastor, I never heard of that. I have. Amen? I know people who have given their house away. Amen? Hello? And what if God intends you to work at this place, and the guy's going to give you a house? But for $2 an hour, you're going to take that job. So you have to get the plan. And then when you get the plan, you have to cooperate with the plan. Is somebody learning something today? Yeah, but Pastor, I've I have blown it. You know what? I've made mistakes. I haven't done anything that you say. Well, welcome to the party. Hello? Can somebody say, welcome to the party? I'm not preaching this because I think you don't understand it. I'm preaching this because I believe you are going to get it. You can understand it. And who came to church today, and who came to change today? Because tomorrow,
today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can get up tomorrow and just set the alarm. And then you're gonna, and then you could do like what I did. You could get up, you know what, and fall back asleep on the couch. And then praise God, because the Holy Spirit will say, here's a thought. Why don't you go outside where it's cold and there's no place to sit down? Pastor, what God said that to you? Absolutely. After I got up, week, day after day, week after week, I just fell asleep all the time. How was your prayer time? I don't know. I slept right through it. And I became intentional because I didn't need to do some fake out religious, you know what, you know, curtsy before God, some kind of mimicking of something that looks spiritual, but actually is just carnal. So what did you do, Pastor? What did you do? I went outside, amen, where it was cold. Well, you didn't have a jacket. I had a jacket, but it was still cold. And I walked up and down. We have a big parking lot, and I just walked up and down, you know, on our driveway until I fell in love with Jesus and fell in love with spending time with God. And now my prayer time is not outside in the cold. It's inside on a beautiful, lush couch of which I do not fall asleep on. We have to hear the plan of God, and then we have to cooperate with the plan of God. Sweetie, all you do.
I don't want to talk into your water bottle. It's been a morning, hasn't it, guys? I feel like there's moments I need to explain in a lot of this morning. Let me just say this. We need to, listen, the greatest thing we'll ever do is to develop our relationship with the Lord. It's also the most beneficial thing that we'll ever do. You guys know, many of you know, Pastor Drew was born and raised in the church. His dad was a pastor. I was not. And so I come from a real different place. I remember when, and it's interesting because, see, God has a plan. It's before I ever knew God, he so knew me. He knew me. He formed me when I was in my mother's womb. So I'm just, some of this stuff, you know what, I'm going to talk about, like, I had no idea at the time. But later on, as I become a believer and as I learn the word of God and as I have a relationship with God, you know what I learned? God knew me and loved me way before I ever knew him, way before I ever loved him. God was faithful to me when I didn't even know who he was. He formed me in my mother's womb. And so I learn all this, you know, later on. We were just recently, I think we were with Brian and Arlene, and we were down in the Newport Beach area, which is where I met Pastor Drew, which is where I first began to go to church. I had taken a transfer from Costa Mesa to Newport Beach. And I was showing this to Brian and Arlene. I'm like, oh, there's that church. And you know, the stories. Remember when I was trying to escape out of the church? And I was right at the front door. And then Drew came drizzling up the side and said, hey, what'd you think of my church? I'm like, ah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, there it is right there. Those doors, that step. He came around that way and caught me right there on those steps. And so we were talking. And I said, and look it right over there. Kitty corner from the church was where I ended up living before I ever went to that church. And it was, and then they said something, I don't remember, I said, I was right on this street, same street that the church was on. It was called Orange Avenue. I was driving down Orange Avenue because Newport Boulevard was bumper to bumper in the summertime. So I was driving down Orange Avenue to avoid the traffic when out of nowhere, I have this strong urge that I want to go to church. Never been to church a day in my life. And so this strong urge comes on me, so strong that I look to the left and the right like, where the heck did that come from? Literally looked to the left and the right like, what the heck? Why did I just think that? Mm-hmm. I had just taken that transfer. I had been there, whatever, 2-3 weeks. Pastor Drew and I came in the same time. We both had like 4 o'clock shifts or something like that on a Sunday. And we were side by side waiting for the people in front of us to count out their till. And he's always trying to yak at me. I didn't like him. But he was always trying on me. But I'm not rude either. I was trying to be gracious, but I didn't like him. So he's like trying to talk to me. Oh, so what'd you do today? You know, what'd you do today, Tamara? You know, I said, oh, I went to church. You know, I'm just trying to give him my short answer. It's my time now, brother. Have a seat. Have a seat. I got the mic. Have a seat. So I said, oh, I went to church. And then he said, oh my gosh, where do you fellowship? I swear to you, I'm telling you the truth. If you're like me, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you grew up in the church, then you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what it's like. I'm looking at him. I have no idea what he just asked me. I don't know how to answer him. And I'm getting kind of ticks. I'm thinking, why is this guy always got to be yakking at me? Because now I don't know how to answer it. I don't even know what to say to him. So I just said, today's the first day I ever went to church. Thought that would cover it. And he goes, oh, well, what church did you go to, you know? And I said, it was Tim Timmons Church. It was in Irvine somewhere. I'm like, oh, Tim Timmons Church. I didn't know the name of the church. He goes, oh, well, why did you choose that church? It's like, how long does it take to count out a till? I mean, don't we gotta, come on now. So, and then he says, well, maybe you might like to come to my church someday. Inside, I'm thinking, yeah, right. I just said, yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? But I could just blow it off. We started working, and that was that. All week long. You gonna come to my church? So are you gonna come to my church? And I was like, So I thought, okay, I'll just go to this church, get it over with. Because I had a plan. I had asked my girlfriends, you know what, do y'all know of any good churches? They said, oh, yeah. And I had 3 churches. And here was my plan. I'm going to go to this church, and then I'm going to pick which church I want to be at. Pick which one I like. Of course I would think like that. I don't know anything. I didn't know that God plants you in a house. But my life proves that. Because then this happens like that, and then he didn't get in the comment. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go to this church, get it off my list, get him off my back, and then I'm going to move on. So I go to the church. I'm freaked out. It's a little church, and the people were they had their hands in the air. I didn't know what the heck they're doing. Why are they doing that? Why do they have their hands in the air? What are they doing? Some of them were crying. I'm like, why are they crying? I didn't know nothing. I was like, what's going on? You know what? And I was kind of freaked out. And the pastor was kind of cool. He was playing a trumpet. I liked the trumpet. That was cool. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I'm going to get up on out of here and get on with my life. So it ended. And I said to myself before it ended, okay, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm never coming back. You know what I mean? I'm going to make it to that back door, and I'm going to get jetting. So I made it to the back door. I thought I was in there. I got out on that front patio. I mean, these 2 doors that swing open, there's 2 steps down. I was right there just making my escape to the car, and he come up a side door around this way, said, hey, what you think of my church? I was like, you know, and what do you say? You know what I mean? I said, I didn't know what to say. I was like, and you know, nobody likes this, but who wants to be an adult? I don't know what I was, 20, 21, and reveal that you're just stupid, that you don't know anything. Nobody wants to do that. So there I was in that moment, and I just said, And then it was really cool because I didn't like him. So I thought, so as soon as that thought came in my head, he's going to think you're stupid. I thought, what do I care? I don't like him. What do I care if he thinks I'm stupid? You know what I mean? I don't care. So it was a beautiful thing. And I just said, I thought, just go for it, Tamara, because I had a million questions. And I said, why did those people have their hands up in the air? What were they doing? Well, how come, you know what, they were crying? Well, the pastor said this. What does that mean? Where did the Bible come from? How do you know where the Bible came? How do you know it's true? How do you know it's God's word? I was blank as you're going to get. And here was the cool thing. Every time I asked a question, he had an answer. Yeah. Props to Pastor Drew. So then I'm a smart girl. I came up with a plan. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to this church. And here's why I'm going to go here. Because I want to know God. And I don't know nothing. And this guy seems to know something. So I guess I'll come here. And then that way, every time I have a question, I can ask him. And then I'm going to learn about God. And that was my plan. God planted me in a house. God had a plan for me. And the Holy Spirit has a plan for every one of us. And you know what happened? You know what? And I think I think we've all been through this. You either haven't gone through it yet and you're about to go through it, or you already been there and done that. And here's what happens. So I totally wanted to know God. And how did I get to know God? I went to that church. I bought a Bible. I began to read my Bible. I began to just spend time listening to Christian music, teachings at church, talking about God all the time. You know, I had a group of people and friends that became my friends. I talked about God. I learned about God. I found out all this stuff about God. And I began to, that's how I began my relationship with the Lord. And I remember thinking, okay, I've got to get up. I got to pray for 3 hours. Okay, I got to read a chapter. Okay, I have to, you know what? Can I just tell you something? It always failed. I'm gonna set my alarm. I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning. It just failed. I didn't value him enough, I don't think, for that. You know what I mean? I was trying to throw my actions to this commitment that I just didn't have in my life yet, because I was still learning about him and kind of unsure. If you're in that place, here's what you do. Get a Bible. Begin to read your Bible. Begin to ask questions, you know what, of someone who knows answers. That's why God gives us shepherds, pastors, who can teach us, show us things in the Word of God. Get to know him like that. And then one of the greatest things I ever did, I stopped trying to be, and if you can do it right away, then good. But I think a lot of times we fail because we just don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord yet. But one of the greatest things I started to do is I just fill my life with him and his stuff. Does that make sense? So when I'm driving, it was all about praise music. It was all about listening to teachings. I was just learning more and more about him. And as I fell in love with him, then I was able to go deeper. Does that make sense? Really? Or I would forget the 2 hours praying. Can you spend 10 minutes? See, if we get too, what do we call, grandiose with what we're going to do with our spirituality, and we just don't ever catch up with that. How about 10 minutes? I remember another thing I used to do. I would say, you know what, I'm just going to, from home to work, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to turn off everything. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Or I'm going to pray. Don't pray in the Spirit. Just pray. That's my prayer time. I got real practical with what I was really going to do. And as I got real practical with what I would really do, I began to do more and more and more, that I could get into a way deeper relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is a person, and he's wanting to have relationship with us. And he's wanting to teach us and guide us and help us and comfort us. But we have to spend that time with him that he can do that. Does that make sense? And so if you're here, you know what? You're here because you are somewhere in a development with wanting to know who God is. Wherever that place is. And wherever that place is, grab on in bite-sized pieces. Does that make sense? But always moving towards him. Sometimes we try to go so grandiose, and you know what we end up doing? Nothing. Because we're like, oh, I tried that. I always fail. Who likes to fail all the time? None of us. And so we get grandiose, and we end up doing nothing. All I'm suggesting is it's better to take baby steps, you know what, towards him. Because the more you step towards him, the more he reveals himself to you. And the more you get to know him, you just can't help but fall in love with him. Because he's awesome. And we rip ourselves off trying to get all, I'm going to fast for 40 days and I'm going to pray in a closet for 3 hours. No, we're not. We just don't value him like that yet. Does that make sense? So it's like meeting Pastor Drew the first day and, oh, I'm going to marry him. No, I'm not. You know what I mean? I did not value him. All right? So we take it step at a time. It's a relationship. Amen?